Confident Mom podcast.
I'm Trish Blackwell, your host and confidence coach. And this is a podcast community for busy moms who want to be confident that they are being the best version of themselves they can be, so that ultimately they can be confident moms to the little ones God has given them. I'm a first-time mom learning the ropes of motherhood and humbly learning from those who have gone before me on the beautiful journey it is to be a mom. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Confident Mom community. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. This is episode number 2 of the Confident Mom podcast, and I am pretty excited to be talking today about what people don't talk about. So today's episode you saw was entitled, What Moms Don't Talk About. Now, if you know me and you followed me in my other show or in my blog and my writings, you know that I am committed to being the type of person that talks about the kind of stuff that other people don't, that we all want to talk about, but we are all so secretly afraid to mention or talk about. So, you know, I want to bring light to things that we just kind of shove into the darkness. I want to lift up the rug and sweep out the dirt that we've pushed underneath it. So today we are talking about what moms don't talk about and what we need to talk about more. But first, let's start with an inspirational quote on motherhood. This one's from William Dixon. He said that birth is the sudden opening of a window through which you look out upon a stupendous prospect. For what has happened? A miracle. You have exchanged nothing for the possibility of everything. So as you guys know, beautiful quote. I need to say something to that quote. I love that. That I sometimes can just stop in awe and realize what a miracle motherhood is. And y'all, I'm only 6 months in, so this is all even all the more new for me, but it was so trite to hear it before. Yeah, motherhood's, it's a miracle. I'm a miracle to my mom. Like all of that, the intricacies of you know, passing on these generations and giving life, the ability for a woman to be able to give life. I've always known that it's a miracle, but now that I've lived that miracle, it's just something I wanted to slow down and think about today, and I encourage you to do the same, whether you're hanging out with me on the treadmill, maybe you're driving your car, doing some dishes, but it's just absolutely amazing. And I actually read speaking of intricacies of this miracle, I recently read an article on the power of breast milk. Now, you know, they always say breast is best, and there's so many things about that. And let's be honest, sometimes nursing doesn't work out for some people, whether it's biological or there's connection issues. So, you know, formula is a wonderful option and creates healthy babies as well. But if you can get breast milk, I've always known that that's ideal. What I did not know, however, is the way that a baby can communicate back to the mom. I read in this article that I'm taking pretty scientific article and boiling it down into like layman's terms here, but essentially there's a thing called baby backwash, that the baby, when they are nursing, their saliva can get into the open parts of the nipple and communicate back to the mother what type of modifications need to be made to that milk based on that baby's needs at the moment. Or that need for the day. I don't think it instantaneously changes it, but your milk supply changes in and out. And that's amazing. It just makes me sit back and wonder and think about the miracle of creation and the beauty of birth. And it just, I don't know, God's crazy, crazy, crazy intricate and beautiful in the design of humans and how we are birthed. And I just think that's awesome. So yeah, I don't want to read over that quote and just say, yeah, we're miracles, because we're more than that. It's a miracle beyond, I think, what we even comprehend in so many ways. But let's talk about, okay, let's use this time wisely, right? Like, let's talk about what moms don't talk about enough. Or really, what I came up with 5 things that I wish that people had really told me before becoming a mom. So number one, no one told me, I'm going to just say it how it was for me, how terribly, terribly, terribly difficult the first 6 weeks are. No one told me. Now they said, oh, you sort of prepare people like in an underhanded way. You go, oh, get ready not to sleep. Get ready for this. Hope you're ready, aren't you? And then you give birth and you're exhausted. You're emotionally on this euphoric high, but you're also emotionally exhausted. You're terrified your life's coming to an end. You don't know what this new state of, you're in this like suspended state of parenthood because you really don't know what you're doing. Your baby and you don't really know one another yet outside of the womb, and you're learning to communicate, and that's so difficult to do. And it's chaos, and you've got postpartum hormones that are out of the wazoo, up and down, like making you feel crazy. I personally had night sweats, oh, for 8 weeks, like extreme night sweats, like soak the bed, change the sheets, not just soak my half of the bed, but my husband's as well, and change the sheets in the middle of the night, plus put down towels, night sweats. And so during this time, you're supposed to be euphorically happy and awake and accepting visitors and, you know, trying to take naps when your baby's napping, even though that a baby at that point does not have a napping schedule. It's exhausting even to talk about now because I'm past that phase. But, you know, no one was really honest. And what was, I think, even more frustrating for me as this first-time mom, clueless with what I was doing. As I told you last episode, I never even changed a diaper at that point, was that it wasn't just a little hard, it was a lot hard. And no one just kind of prepared me for that it was okay to feel exhausted and defeated. And instead, the questions that were asked was, when are you going to have another one? I'm like, when I can sleep and actually make an educated answer for you, you know? Or the other question was the statements that I received versus a, how are you doing, or what can I do to help encourage you? It was a, isn't motherhood the most beautiful thing you've ever experienced? And at this point, absolutely. At that point, I was in such severe sleep deprivation and such hormonal swings and highs, and I didn't even know what my own thoughts were. So I was getting all this kind of fluff from the outside, from my community, my people in my life, so to speak. And all I wanted was for somebody, and people finally did, to say, Trish, it's okay to cry. It's okay at 1 p.m. in the afternoon when you cry because you're just not sure what to do. That's okay, and that these are just a few short weeks. And I think as moms, you know, this is a lesson that goes in all areas of our life. That every phase of motherhood has a season, and you may be in a season with teenagers. And I don't know. I'm nowhere close to what that feels like. But what I do know is that life runs on cycles and in seasons. And though we may be experiencing different things during some of those tougher seasons, that the reality is that we feel the emotions that we feel and experience, and the self-doubt and the feelings of being overwhelmed, and the questioning and doubting, am I being a good mom, am I making good decisions, am I doing the right thing, but those are all something that we still walk through in the same way. The circumstances might be different, but I just wish that as moms we talked more openly and said, yeah, this part's hard. No one tells you about that. Let's start sugarcoating it and just be real and share that. Like, I have a very good girlfriend who was so encouraging to me, and she finally was one person who said, listen, Trish, I had postpartum, and I'm not embarrassed to tell you that because I need you to know that that's a real thing, and that it's okay to be sad some days, and it's okay that you can't make your mind up if you're ecstatic and joyful, or sad and depressed and overwhelmed and tired, or energized and off, bouncing off the walls. That's normal, and that you will find a rhythm. It took a girlfriend on a phone call to tell me that I was going to find a rhythm, and that I wasn't going crazy, and that yes, in fact, other people were sugarcoating a lot of this, and so sometimes we need to be more honest and transparent with our own stories, because we've lived our stories to be able to share and encourage others with them. I'm looking up and looking forward and watching mothers who have walked before me, because they've walked through the life lessons that I'm going to be needing, the counsel and wisdom I'm going to be needing to be the confident mom that I can be as I continue to journey along this path with Ellie. Okay, second thing that I don't think moms talk about enough is that you're going to cry a lot, and then you're going to feel bad for crying. And let's relate this to so many different, this is so many different scenarios, I think, just as women. But, you know, you start crying, and then you feel bad that you're crying, because then you think you're being over-emotional, and how over-emotional and unstable can you be, and are you really reliable? I mean, all this is like rabbit hole of negative thoughts that start going down when you start feeling guilty for crying, or for being over committed into your child, or maybe overprotective, or maybe you're crying because you wish you cared more, or you wish understood, or maybe you're crying because your child is doing something that you just, it's so frustrating that you don't have control over. You know, I think that no one told me that tears were okay, and that letting go of that the tears sometimes represent this submission into realizing that motherhood is the ultimate walking opportunity to walk a life where you let go of control. Now, I'm a control, I don't want to say control freak, but I'm going to call it what it like it is. I love control. Oh, it's part of my personality. But I also am somebody who seeks to, I want to learn how to let go of control. And isn't it funny that God allowed me to be a mother, which I've now learned in just that short bit of time that I have been a mom, that being a mom is letting go of control. Because ultimately, we can't control what happens to our children. We can't control the decisions they make. We can guide them. We can counsel them. We can protect. We can do all sorts of things to sort of surround them and sort of, let's call it, like bubble tape them in love so that they are protected and they do make good decisions. But ultimately, we don't have control. And I think that's a terrifying truth to embrace and accept, but it's so amazing, because isn't that what so many of us want, especially those of us who struggle with really thriving on needing control, that we know that being in control all the time isn't ideal, that that's not a freeing and balanced way to live, that we are given the opportunity to let go of control by being moms. But if you're like me, letting go of some of that control might make you cry a little bit. And for me, when I was thinking about this list of I cried a lot in the beginning when I didn't have control over, I didn't understand what Ellie needed from me. I didn't understand what she wanted. I mean, I pretty much was always, she wanted to nurse, but I wanted more, wanted to understand more. And I really had to come to terms to realize that, wow, it's okay to cry, and it's okay to kind of cry because you're being forced to learn lessons in life about control and about patience that maybe you've been resistant to learn, that that's an okay thing. Okay, the third thing I don't think moms talk about enough is that everyone and their mother and their grandma and their grandma's neighbor and their grandma's second cousin is going to have an opinion about how you parent. And they're going to have an opinion about how you dress your child and whether the headbands you put on your little girl are too tight, or if the clothes that you put on your little boy are too gender neutral. It's amazing. And so that doesn't stop. And you obviously, probably most of you listening are have more parenting experience than I do. So you know that even more. But here's the thing. Why don't we talk about that? Why don't we talk about that? That's just ridiculous. The amount of judgment that's flying back and forth and opinions on how you're spending your money on parenting, on what things you buy for your kids, or what decisions you're making, what types of schools your kids are going to go to. Rather than us get caught up into the impressing the Joneses and keeping up with the Joneses and all of the kind of parenting competition that happens, that I've realized that now happens secretly. Or, you know, if you have a baby, oh, is your baby sleeping the night yet? Oh, mine is. Oh, they're not crawling. Oh, mine started crawling. I mean, it's constant comparison and constant criticism and judgment, but also, you know, from all these outside sources. I think we can stop some of it if we just learn to say to ourselves and realize that not everyone's going to agree with what I'm doing. And you know what? That's okay. And if everyone does agree with what I'm doing, that probably means I'm doing something wrong. That you have to listen to your own heart and your own choices and your own value system and be that parent and make those decisions and put the almost like metaphorical horse blinders on to not care what other people are saying or thinking or might be saying behind your back about your parenting decisions, the way your child acts, any of that. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you and your husband are on the same page. Number four, okay, what moms don't talk about enough is that there are way too many blogs and opinions are out there. So not getting bogged down and beaten down by them. So, you know, during pregnancy and like kind of the first couple weeks of being a mom, I was so pumped about all these mom blogs and these mom forums, and it just seemed so supportive. Well, it turns out it is supportive, but it's almost like Facebook or any sort of social media. You kind of gotta be careful how much of that you allow into your mind. Now, what I included in this, what we don't talk about enough list, is that too much mom talk can drive us crazy. Too much mom talk can steal our identity and our own clarity to make good decisions. Too much mom talk, too much mom blogs, too much, assessing every opinion and reading 15 articles in depth on which car seat to buy or which organic food to buy. Not good examples to start, but my point is there's an overabundance of information out there and a lot of opinions out there. And I saw myself getting sucked in to not making decisions or to wanting to make decisions based on articles I was reading, just one or two that were really strong. And I went, okay, so those are helpful. Those are good sort of inputs and advice, but they shouldn't be the things that steer me one direction. And then I read something that steers me the other and I keep going back and forth. This is a community. The Confident Mom community is all about being confident in your decisions. Be thorough. Research whatever it is that you're making a decision on as a mom. But then once you do it, don't second guess yourself or go back to the drawing board of back and forth, because there's so much info out there that you can go back and forth on. And I think what we don't talk about enough is that we have to kind of filter what it is we're allowing into ourselves. That, if you find yourself, there are some paranoid mom blogs out there that are so hypercritical and so hypersensitive that they want to put giant bubbles around their children and never let their kids breathe regular air. So I think just knowing, no one really told me just to be aware of who's giving me advice and counsel and whose counsel am I listening to, because it's everywhere. So pick yours wisely. And then, you know what we don't talk about enough? I don't feel like we get one another enough resources. Tell your neighbors, tell your mom friends, tell your mom group what podcasts, what newsletters, what blogs are uplifting and encouraging to you, and tell them which ones you've just said, hey, I'm cutting these out of my life. They always put me in a bad place as a mom. They get me second guessing. They make me feel negative, overwhelmed, whatever. And start sharing that. Let's talk about the stuff that we don't often talk about. And then the final way that I think that we really need to start talking about more, that I wish I had known before becoming a mom, was that living in fear is the best way to be a watered down mama. Now, that kind of piggybacks on statement number four, because I think get bogged down by some of these fearful based mom blogs, the fearful based overabundance of information, the web, your child has a runny nose and so you WebMD it and all of a sudden you think they have tuberculosis. That we go to, because we so love our children, that we go to these extremes and then we get overwhelmed with the what ifs, and as parents we have this propensity and we're set up to be protectors. So of course we're going to think of the worst case scenario, then try to anticipate that and protect from that. But here's the thing, it sets us up to be in a mindset of fear. And I'll tell you what, from watching and studying and just fear in my own life, learning from my own experiences before being a mom, I know that whenever I live in fear or I allow fear the dominant space in my mind, that I'm a watered down version of myself. And so if you will, I like to think about fear and love as opposite sides of a spectrum, that fear, where there's perfect love drives out all fear. So if I have fear in my mind, I there's not enough space for love. Perfect love drives out all fear. And so if I really want to be a great mom, I'm not going to be a watered down mom. And living in fear is the perfect way to be a watered down mama. Fear can extend itself in so many ways, and I think fear also seeps its ugly head into ways that we gossip. Gossip is such a I hate to say it's a great way to connect, but it is. It's a natural and easy way to connect with other moms. We're desperate for adult connection, and so what do? We get together, and the conversation starts going in a negative way. So I think gossip can be so incredibly toxic to our lives, because inside the gossip
without us really even realizing, our judgments, opinions about other people, their parenting styles. Did you hear so-and-so is doing this? And then what that sets us up on our own end is to, we start being afraid, as we should be, because if we're participating in gossip with other people, those people are going to gossip about us. What goes around comes around. What we give out is what we get back. So by participating in gossip, we actually are feeding fear, because we're teaching ourselves people are going to talk about you, people are watching you, and start living for other people's opinions versus just being the mom to our children that we're meant to be. So I wanted to point out that no one really talks about that fear and gossip are linked in some ways, but really that what could we do as moms to be more confident if we got together and we just, instead of gossiping and instead of sharing the newest, scariest recall on, I don't know, Fisher-Price toys, that we actually just built one another up and encouraged one another and encouraged one another when one of us is feeling fearful or over anxious about something or overwhelmed with, you know, whether to do a 529 for education or custodial investment plan, that you're thinking about these things, but not being fear-based in your thinking. You do not let fear win over love. And I'm really grateful that I have some friends that can have these types of conversations with me. And if you don't have other friends right now that are open to kind of calling you out when you're being fearful, I encourage you to invite a friend to listen to today's show and ask them to say, let's start having these types of conversations. Let's start being one another's accountability partners. Let's not buy in to the fear factor that comes with being with motherhood in so many ways these days. Let's let our lives be lined and padded with love, and that love would flow towards us in form of self-compassion, and then overflow and outpour through us onto our children, onto our families, and onto our neighbors, and onto one another. So here's what I think. Those are the five things I think we don't talk about enough. And here's what I think we need to talk about more. And not just talk about, I want us to celebrate it. Number one, we need to celebrate our mom bod. So I told you last episode that I had a C-section. And I had this big aha moment the other day when I was brushing my teeth. I had just woken up and was getting ready to actually sit down and write. And I could see my stomach in the mirror. And you know, my C-section scar is where your kind of bathing suit bikini line would be. And it's quite small. And to be honest, it's quite beautiful. And I'll tell you why I think it's beautiful. I looked in the mirror and I said, this is so cool that no matter what happens in my life, every time I look in a mirror, I'm never going to forget that I'm a mom. There's no way. I see that scar. That scar is what helped Ellie survive. It was an emergency C-section. Without that scar, I would not have my daughter. And I love it that whatever happens to, when I look at my body weight's going to fluctuate. My body's going to age up. I mean, let's just be honest. There are hormonal flows and fluctuations physically to us as women as we age. Bottom line, at the end of the day, I'm never going to forget that my body bore a child. There's something beautiful about that with a C-section scar. So if you're a C-section mama out there, I want you to think about your scar in a new light. I want you to wear it proudly and with beauty. Now, if you haven't had a C-section, you can still see the beauty and celebrate your mom bod by remembering doing something that every day you look at yourself and you, let's say you don't, maybe you get frustrated with your hips, or you're like, if I just could get this half an inch off my thighs. You know what allowed you to be able to have your child? Those hips, those thighs. We need a certain amount of body fat as women to be able to sustain life within us, to give birth. And when we look at ourselves in the mirror, let's start celebrating. Let's start teaching one another, encouraging one another to celebrate that these bodies gave life and that is beautiful. There's no such thing as a perfect body. So let's stop pretending that there is. The second thing we need to celebrate more is we need to celebrate one another more. We need to compliment one another. We need to rise up and encourage one another and tell someone when you think they're doing something great, whether you like their parenting style, we love the way they dress their children, you love the manners that their children are they have, or that their children light the room that they walk into with joy and love, that's beautiful, and that you're appreciative and you know that character has been passed down from them. But let's encourage one another. Let's encourage one another to not criticize ourselves, to stop being so hard on ourselves, to stop saying, I got to lose this baby weight. It's just crap because it gets you in a negative mindset and takes you nowhere. Celebrate your body today and teach one another to do the same. The third thing we need to talk about more together as a community of moms is we need to celebrate the camaraderie that we've been given. And I don't mean camaraderie by just a mom group, because I'm going to be honest, I'm not technically in a mom group right now. I would like to be, but I have a couple mom friends who we have play dates and we meet up at the gym and we text a lot, to be honest. But I want to celebrate that you have the ability to connect with other women who are walking in the same phase of life with you. Tell them that you appreciate that. Don't take that for granted. Not everyone has that. So make sure we celebrate that that's a gift itself, that we have been given the opportunity and gift to be able to trust one another with our emotions, with our fears, with our exhaustion, with our confessions, that some days, hey, I just didn't feel like being a mom today. Does that make me bad? Or, you know, we just need to celebrate that encouragement with one another, but celebrate the camaraderie you've been given. Let us not take it for granted. The fourth thing I want us as a community, as moms, as confident moms, to talk about more is that we really need to celebrate the help that we receive from others. And that is, it's hard. You guys, it was really tough for me in the beginning to accept help. And what I loved, I had some really loving people in my life who phrased it in such a way that they didn't give me a choice, because they know I'm stubborn. They know that I have the attitude that I want to be able to do it all and I don't need help, which is the biggest lie ever. We were created to be in community with others. So why do we stop? Why do we pretend that we don't need other people? It's the biggest joke that's out there. But what I loved is I had some really amazing people in my life who said, Trish, when is the best time for me to babysit for you? On Tuesday or Thursday? I'm coming down. I'm coming to your house. I would like you to go shopping. I'd like you to go get a pedicure. Which day works best for you? They didn't give me an option. They didn't say, hey, would you like me to babysit for you? Because I would have said, no, I don't need it. Or, hey, give me a call whenever you need someone to babysit. I'd love to come hold the baby. They just loved on me in such a way that they said, I'm coming. Which day would you prefer? And what a loving thing to do. It's something I want to pay forward in the future to other people, because it was such a great lesson for me. But let's celebrate accepting help. Let's encourage the ones we know and love, people with young children. Let's encourage them to accept help from other people. And I mean that in a physical way, with babysitting and you know, group play dates, but also in, let's accept help for emotional support and for peer counsel and guidance and opinions and prayers and all that goes into it. The ability to accept help and support and realize that motherhood is a journey of a community is one of the greatest strengths I really believe that we can have as moms. We need to stop pretending that we are the I can do it all mom. I can juggle it all and look happy and am never tired. It's inauthentic. It's just, you're doing yourself an injustice, and you're also doing an injustice to the moms around you. And you're missing out on the best thing ever, which is this community of camaraderie that is available to us if we start learning to celebrate it and talk about it a little bit more. Now, the fifth and final thing that I think we can really celebrate as confident moms is we need to celebrate ourselves as ourselves and not just as moms. So we need to encourage one another, encourage ourselves, and ask our spouse to do this for us, but to stay involved in hobbies that we love that are completely separate from our children. Whether that's going for a run, maybe it's scrapbooking, maybe it's dance lessons, piano, studying a language, taking a nighttime course, whatever, something that's all that's you. I really think there's so much value in that. And it's, you know, I think a lot of people don't do it because they think it's selfish, but we talked about this in the last episode. It's not selfish to invest in yourself. Your self-care and self-love should be a priority, not only because you're doing it and there's a trickle-down effect to your children, but you're also teaching your children that taking care of yourself is and renewing yourself and having quiet time and the ability to be the best version of yourself isn't selfish. It actually enables you to give more and to love more and to be more for other people. That's going to do it for today's show, guys. Let's just start talking about what people don't talk about enough. By the way, if you want to be a confident mom in your bod, get instant access to my free ebook, The 77 Secrets of Hot and Confident Moms. And you can find out my best personal training secrets, how to lose your baby weight, whether you just had a baby or it's been 6 or 10 years since you had your baby, and find out just all the secrets I've compiled on my past 10 years of being a personal trainer and working with moms who are confident and just alive in the skin they're in. You can get your free copy of my ebook at trishblackwell.com/77. And guys, if you want more confidence and inspiration in your life, make sure you hang out with me on Facebook. It's Trish Blackwell Fitness at Facebook. Also, I'm on Twitter at Trainer Trish. I'm on Instagram at Trish Blackwell. I think it's Trish_Blackwell. And the other thing, make sure you tell someone else about this show. And if you really just want to give me like the best, biggest confident high five and hug ever, because you're just pumped that somebody's finally talking about the stuff that no one else is talking about, I would be beyond ecstatic and tickled if you would write a review in iTunes. It'll take you about 2 minutes. And what it does is I want you to think about your review. That 2 minutes is that it's kind of like you hand addressing a card of invitation to other moms out there who are searching for a community that will be encouraging and uplifting for them to be the best moms that they can be, because that's how people find the show. With the more reviews we get on iTunes, the more moms are going to stumble upon this show serendipitously and are going to feel encouraged and uplifted and motivated and inspired. So that is what you're doing for. You're not writing the review for me, although I love it. It's like a love note. You're writing it because you love other moms and you want to celebrate with them the journey of motherhood, the highs, the lows, the amazing things that come along with it. Guys, I love hanging out with you. I'm excited to be a confident mom alongside you. And I want to thank you in advance for everything that I'm learning from you. If you have more mom experience than me, I'm your student. I am learning and I'm so just overjoyed to be considered a mom alongside you. It's a wonderful journey. Let us celebrate it together. You can get more confidence resources at my website, trishblackwell.com, and make sure you get my free one-page roadmap to confidence at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. Thanks for being a confident mom. Now go out there today, be you, be free, be as confident as you were meant to be.